Every preacher has themes that they preach about, and if you hear the same preacher over a significant amount of time, you can probably pretty quickly identify the different themes that they preach about. I have about 20 of them that I've written down over the years, and I find myself, after the Lord gives me a message, well, that fits in with that theme, and I'm sure those of you that have been here for a while could probably mention my themes as well as I could. I mean, for example, I preach about salvation. That's a theme that's in many of my messages. I preach about the Christian life and how God wants us to live that life. I preach about Christian service, about how we ought to serve the one that saved us. I preach about the Bible. I'll do a little bit of that tonight. I preach about the Holy Spirit. And another one of the themes that often are in my messages is the theme of encouragement. And I preach to folks that have problems in their lives, and I say something like, you know, don't quit. God's still God. He still knows what he's doing. Just keep on going. It's not as bad as you think. Just keep serving God. And I usually preach my encouragement messages and direct them to those that do have problems or burdens in their life, to people that know why they're discouraged, that can point to a reason and say, well, that's why I'm depressed. People that have gone and had medical tests and those tests have come back negative. People that have trouble in their marriage. People that have lost their job or lost a loved one. Or have a child that have disappointed you in some way. In other words, people that have a heartache or a tragedy or a burden or a problem in their life, and they can point to that and they can say, well, that's why I'm a little bit depressed, or that's why I'm down, or that's why I'm discouraged. And most of the messages that I preach on encouragement are directed to that group of people. Now, this morning, I want to direct my message, and it's a message of encouragement, to a different group of people. Now, I'll tell you that I had another message prepared for this morning, and it got changed last night. And I always hate it. I know when I have a message all done. I hate Saturday night just trying to get a message together. And I really hate it when the Lord says on Sunday morning, you know, I want you to preach a different message. And I'm up at 5 o'clock and trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and figure out what he wants me to say. But I had my message for this morning prepared last Monday night. I had it all done. I had my notes all done. And yesterday was the 9th of December. And I try to read 5 Psalms a day. And I was reading along in Psalms 41, 42. And I came across Psalm 43. I read the Psalm twice a month. And when I read it early yesterday morning, that fifth verse where it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." That verse just sort of stuck in my mind, and I thought about it most of the day. And I'll tell you in what context in just a second. But this morning, I want to address my message of encouragement to those of you that may be a little depressed or discouraged today and you don't know why. You have no financial problem. You're in relatively good health. You have had no recent heartbreak. You're not mourning for the loss of a loved one. There's really no negative circumstances in your life right now. You're just down a little bit, just discouraged. You don't live there. You don't live in that valley of despair or that discouragement. You just every once in a while, it just sort of slips into your life, and you have moments or periods of times where you just feel a little blue and discouraged and depressed, and you don't know why. Let me give you an example. Yesterday, most of you that know me know that I stay on top most of the time. I'm a happy person, and I like to have fun. And yet, even a person like that can get, at times, discouraged. Yesterday was the 9th of December. It was Adam's 19th birthday yesterday. And though he's my son. He's going to college down in Indiana. And he called on Thursday night, and I asked him, well, you got big plans for your birthday? And he said, no, his girlfriend, he said, she has to work all day. And so I said, well, are you working? He said, nope, I'm going to be by myself all day. And so I thought about it on Friday, and I got up early yesterday morning and took a 3.5-hour drive down to Indiana, picked him up about 9 o'clock in the morning, and we went out for breakfast, and then we went to downtown Chicago. And we just had a great day. We spent the whole day downtown, and I don't have time to tell you some of the things that we did, but we had a good time. And then we ate a late lunch. And so I was driving home. I left there about 4 o'clock our time yesterday afternoon, and I was driving home. And for some reason, as I was driving home, I got a little discouraged, a little depressed. Now, as far as I can tell, I have no reason to be depressed. I'm not sick physically that I know of. Was that a laugh back there from the back? I'm not going to comment on my mental health, but I am not sick. I hate it when those guys, I mean, they don't even have to try. They can just get me. Debbie, my wife, and I are getting along. I mean, and we're really getting along. I found that when she's 1,000 miles away, that we can get along. And she's down visiting our daughter, but we were getting along before she left, and we're talking every night. I don't have any problems with either one of my kids that I know of. But yesterday, driving home after having just a great day with my son, I got a little depressed for no reason at all. And what verse do you think popped into my mind? Psalm 43, verse 5, where David asked the question, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And I'm going to tell you in my message what I did on the way home last night in the car to relieve my depression, to get over being down, with the encouragement to you that when that happens to you, when you get depressed and there's absolutely no reason that you can point to, I'm going to give you the cure this morning. I want to make 5 points, or 4 points, and then I'll tell you how to do it about that. About getting depressed when there's absolutely no reason. Number one, you're in good company. It happens to every Christian. It happened to David. I mean, the one that killed Goliath. That one that was going to rise to be the king of Israel. The man after God's own heart, the Bible describes him. I mean, the harp player that oftentimes played music and sang songs, and we have many of those songs in the form of Psalms, in the book of Psalms. This one who brought so much encouragement to others got discouraged sometimes and didn't know why. Now, there were times in David's life that things were happening that he got discouraged and he did know why. I mean, when Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him, I'm sure there were days of discouragement there. And he could point at the king who was trying to drill him with a javelin and take his life and say, well, that's why I'm discouraged. After his sin with Bathsheba and the tragedy that came into his life as a result of that, he could say, I know why I'm discouraged. I know why I'm depressed. When his son Absalom rose up in rebellion against him and they had a civil war in the nation of Israel, he could say, well, I am depressed, but here's why. When one of his best friends, Ahithophel, turned his back on him, and when he was fleeing from Jerusalem, when Shimei kicked dust at him and threw stones and cussed him, he could look at that and say, well, yeah, I have a right to be depressed. The nation's falling apart. My own son is leading in the rebellion. My subjects are turning against me. I mean, there were times in David's life when he was depressed and he knew why. He could point to a reason. But there were other times when David was on top. I mean, when he wrote the 43rd Psalm, everything was going well in David's life. The nation of Israel was prospering. And his family problems were behind him. And God had already made his promise about his son Solomon building the temple and his lineage forever as far as having one of his descendants set on the throne. And David was on top, and yet he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why am I discouraged? Why am I not on top? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Here was a time in David's life when there was no negative circumstances, and yet he said, "I'm a little discouraged. I'm a little distressed. Why? Why?" Others. I mean, you go back to the book of Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was oftentimes discouraged. Now, most of the times, he knew why. I mean, he was delivering a hard message to God's people, and he wept over that message. But there were times in Jeremiah's life when he even asked the same question, "Why am I so discouraged? God is still God. God is still in charge." And you go back and you read the autobiographies of others. Even Martin Luther, the great Reformation leader, had tendencies at times when he would get in deep valleys of despair and depression, and he'd ask himself, you read his autobiography, and he asked himself, "Why? Why am I so depressed?" And so when you get discouraged and you don't have any reason in your life why, realize, number one, you're in good company. Number two, don't feel guilty about it. Most of the time, that discouragement comes from Satan. Discouragement is one of his favorite tools. Did you know that? That Satan uses that tool, and he'll try to bring discouragement into your life and get you depressed. There's not a worse testimony than a Christian that goes around in depression all the time and lets it show on their face and in their testimony. And so if Satan can come into your life and for no good reason get you depressed and get you discouraged, he's got you right where he wants you. Now, you've heard me say many times, you can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you sure as can keep him from building that nest there. And when Satan sends that bird of discouragement into your life, as he does to all of us at times. And by the way, I direct this to a different group. I think every single person here this morning suffers from this at one time or another. You just get up in the morning and for no good reason, you're just blue. You're just discouraged. I mean, when you live in Michigan and when the sky is gray and when it's cold, Brother Cliff and I were talking before the service about all the snow that's coming supposedly tomorrow. And you think about things like that, you can just get discouraged for no good reason. God's still God. He's still in charge. He knows what we need. But you wake up and Satan plants that seed of discouragement in you, and we just need to shoo the bird off the top of our head and say, "No, you're not going to make a nest here. I'm not going to dwell on this. Get away from me." And so don't feel guilty that you get up and feel discouraged at times without any good reason. Number three, don't try to figure out why you are discouraged. Because if you get to thinking about, "Well, there must be some good reason why I'm so depressed today. There must be some reason why I'm so blue today." And if you're not careful, you'll dwell on the negative so long that before you get done, you'll have a reason to be discouraged. So don't try to figure out. And then number four, don't try to hype yourself up and get back on top on your own. You know, one of the saddest things in Christians' lives is that many times we try to design our own remedy instead of going to the book that has the cure for every disease and every problem that we have, and we need to quit trying to doctor ourselves and go to the great physician who has the cure, who has the remedy for everything that comes into our life, including those bouts of discouragement. We need to go back to this book. And in verse 5, David not only asks the question, but he gives us the answer. And I'm so glad that I had read this yesterday morning, because when I left Indiana yesterday afternoon, I did exactly what this verse says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Then why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And that's what David is saying is the cure for these fits of depression that sneak into our life without any good reason. David says, just start praising God. I'm going to praise God. When I don't feel like it, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise Him still. I'm going to praise Him anyhow. Say it however you want to say it. But when those fits of depression sneak into my life, when that bluebird of dishappiness lands on my head, I'm going to shoo him away by beginning to praise God. And so when I was driving home last night and got a little bit discouraged and didn't know why, I said, I'm going to try this verse. And so I began to think about God. And I began to thank God and praise Him, first of all, for all of His characteristics and traits that the Bible tells us about. And I started by saying, God, thank you for being such a loving God. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I reminded myself as I was praising Him that I was not worthy of His love, but that He loved me. Now, I know He loves the whole world, and I know He loves every single person in this room this morning. But when I was by myself in the car, I praised God for Him loving me. I'm so glad that God loves me. I'm so glad that God loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me. I began to praise God for being such a merciful God. He didn't give me what I deserved. He showed mercy on me. He could have sent me to hell the first sin that I committed, but He didn't. And I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. I didn't get saved the first time I heard about Jesus. I resisted. I knew I should have got saved. I knew when they preached salvation messages that it was for me, and I knew that I should have received Christ, but I fought it. And I'm so glad that God, in His mercy, gave me another chance and another chance. In fact, I moved from that one to God being such a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and fifth chances. I praise God for being such a forgiving God, where He forgives us over and over and over again. And for not only being such a forgiving God, but for being such a forgetful God. He casts our sins behind His back and puts them under the blood of Christ and remembers them no more. We stand before God completely forgiven, with all of our sins forgotten in His mind, because of what Jesus did for us. I praise God for being so faithful. I thought about that book in James where it says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm glad that we have a God that doesn't change, that is the same, and always tells the truth. And I spent about an hour just praising God for who He was and thanking God for who He was. That'll do something wonderful for your spirit when you're a little depressed. Is you just think about the kind of God that we have and praise Him for who He is. I mean, just think about the names that the Bible gives to Jesus. And what those names represent to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Savior, the door, the truth, the life, the way, the good shepherd. Just think about the names of Jesus and the traits that those portray, that are portrayed in those names, and praise God for who He is. And then praise God for His blessings. I started with my salvation. And I praise God, when I was a sinner and deserved to go to hell, that He sent His Son to die in my place. And I just, I thought again, and I've shared my testimony with you before, I relived in my mind as I was driving the time that I went into my pastor's study and I got down on my knees in front of that old red plastic couch, tile floor, and I told Jesus that I knew I was a sinner and that I knew I deserved to go to hell. But I believe that when He went to Calvary, He went for me. And I told Him that night that I was trusting Him and Him alone to make me right with my Father. I tell you what, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I wouldn't wait till the invitation. I'd get up right now and I'd come down to the front and I'll have somebody take the Bible and show you from the Bible what it is to receive Christ as your Savior. There's nothing better in the whole world. There's nothing better in the whole universe than knowing that your sins are forgiven and that you're right with God and that everything in your past has been wiped out and put under the blood of Christ. I praised Him that I'm saved. I praised Him that I lived in America, that I could get in my car and go wherever I wanted to yesterday. Didn't have to get somebody's approval to do it. Didn't have to cross borders and show my passport, that I had the freedom to go where I wanted to go. We may be having a little trouble electing a president, but it's still the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And I praise God that He had me be born in the United States of America. I praise God that I'm a Baptist. I don't have anything negative to say about any of the other groups, but I think being a Baptist is the best place to be in believing this book. I praise God for my wife and my children, my parents. I praise God for our church. I began to think about different people in our church. I thought about all our Sunday school teachers and just thought about them one at a time and praise God for each of them. I thought about Brother Dick and his work leading the singing in the choir, and Chris as she plays the piano. I thought about different people and what they all they do to help, and the different people that God's brought into our church. And I began to praise God for each of you and for each of them. When I got to Lansing, which is only about 30, 40 minutes away from home, I began to think about heaven. And I praise God that He tells us in the Bible about heaven. And I got to thinking about heaven. I got to thinking about the people that I know in heaven. My grandmothers and my grandfather and two men that I call pastors that are now in heaven. And I got to thinking about, as we just recently studied in the book of Revelation, what's going to happen in heaven after the tribulation and the judgment seat of Christ, and how God's going to wipe away all tears. You know, that bird of discouragement may land on your head down here, but when you get to heaven, you'll never know discouragement again. You'll never know what it is to be depressed again. We'll be in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And by the time I pulled into the driveway last night, I knew what the Lord wanted me to preach this morning. And also, the bird of depression had flown the coop. He was no more to be found. And I went into the house, took the dog for a walk, and just praised God for the kind of God that He is. Now, this morning, I don't know what your spirit is. Some of you, just by looking at your faces, I might discern that you needed a message like this. Some of you look a little discouraged this morning, a little depressed. Could I give you a prescription this morning? Could I prescribe a serum for you, a pill that you could take? You just leave this place and you go find some time this afternoon where you can just sit down and praise God. Anyhow. Anyway, just thank Him for who He is and thank Him for what He's done for you. And I guarantee you, based on this book, before you get done, your spirit will be lifted. The depression, and again, now some of you here this morning, I know you have reasons to be depressed and to be discouraged. But I want to tell you, this will even help you. This will help you. I mean, even if you got a good reason. Martha, I thought about you yesterday afternoon as I was driving. I prayed for you and I prayed for Wayne. But even somebody that has a reason for being discouraged, you just think about the kind of God that we have and what He's done for every single one of us. And it may not relieve it altogether, but it'll sure get rid of most of it. Because I want to stand here and tell you this morning, we have a good God. And He's been so good to every single one of us. We need to ask the same questions that David did. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Our hope is in God, and I shall yet praise Him. Take the medicine. Let God cure your depression. He will. Father, thank You for this wonderful truth. Thank You for being the kind of God that You are. And Father, I thank You for giving us verses in the Bible like this one that we can run to when we get a little discouraged and we get a little depressed. Father, I pray now for those that might be here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. The Bible says that we're all sinners. The wages for that sin is death, eternal separation from You. But that You loved us so much that You sent Jesus to die in our place for our sins. And if we'd simply accept Him, He'd wipe all our sins away, make us right with You, give us a home in heaven. And so, Father, if there's just one person here this morning that's never trusted Christ to take care of their sins, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that You would speak to that heart, to that mind, and in the next few moments, that person would make a decision to receive Christ. And then, in our invitation, they'd stand to their feet and they'd walk the aisle and they'd share that decision with us so that we could rejoice with them. Father, most of the folks that are here this morning are Christians. They already know Jesus as their Savior. They have a home in heaven. But there's some here this morning that have problems and burdens and heartaches in their life. I pray this morning that You would be of comfort to them. I pray that You'd remind them that You're still God and that You have a purpose for everything that happens. You're still in control, still in charge. And this morning, Father, I just pray that they, in their spirit, could feel Your arms wrapped around them, holding them up, telling them, as You told Your people in the past, together we can make it through this. And then, Father, I pray for those Christians that are here that may be a little depressed this morning and don't know why. I pray that they would praise You and they'd remind themselves about how good You are. Just bless the invitation. If there's those here that need to come for baptism, for church membership, whatever the reason, I pray, Father, that they come. They do what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. And we'll be sure that Jesus gets all the glory. For it's in His precious name we pray. Amen.